thank you for your opportunity to comment on this issue, and we look forward to working with the city during the implementation of any new value pricing program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Doug Allen. I'm asking you today to put some more teeth into this resolution. A couple of weeks ago, during legislative days, I went down to Salem to talk with my Senator Kathleen Taylor. I wanted to ask her about the I-5 Rose Quarter project relative to congestion pricing. Senator Taylor was on the joint committee that came up with HB 2017. She told me she was kind of skeptical of ODOT's claims for this project. And of course, a lot of people have debunked the claimed benefits of that, done a lot better job than I ever could, so I won't cover that. But I asked her, what if the city of Portland passed a resolution insisting that congestion pricing be implemented before any further work on planning and construction of the Rose Quarter project went ahead? And her reply was, what would be wrong with that? She said that HB 2017 did a lot of good things, like more money for transit and safety, and sometimes you have to put in some bad things to achieve an overall good result. You've heard Representative Susan McLean of Washington County telling you to move ahead with expanding I-5 as if you have no choice in the matter. Now, Representative McLean does deserve a lot of credit for insisting that congestion pricing be in the bill, but I think she's wrong here. You do have a choice, and you wouldn't be the only supporters of HB 2017 to ask for a change. Note that the Oregon Trucking Association, which made their support of HB 2017 contingent on the Rose Quarter project being in the bill, is now suing to overturn a portion of HB 2017 that pays for electric vehicles. So I don't think there's anything wrong with you folks asking that HB 2017 be fine-tuned to spend the money in a more intelligent fashion than for the I-5 Rose Quarter project. Final point I'd like to make is, while the bill directs congestion pricing to be studied to be implemented on I-205 and I-5, it also permits congestion pricing to be implemented on any of the other freeways in the Portland area. So in particular, you need to include, and I would like you to add this to the resolution, I-84, I-405, 217, and Highway 26. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Philip. Thank you. You too. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Ta-da. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Doug Klotz, Jim Howell, and Joshua Hetrick.
Philip, my hands were getting tired just watching you do all that typing.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. First, I want to thank Jessica Vega-Peterson for laying out a lot of the details of what equity would look like in congestion pricing. I definitely support congestion pricing, and she laid out a lot of the details that we need to know. I also want to thank Noel Mickleberry for her testimony, in which she said smart investments and congestion pricing should be used in advance of any freeway projects like the Loews Corridor expansion. And I would second that. I would also note that the Oregon Transportation Department has been asked by different government agencies numerous times in the past two decades to study options for the implementation of congestion pricing in the Portland region, including most recently by the legislature in 2009. However, they have at this point failed to implement congestion pricing despite its numerous obvious benefits to public health, transportation efficiency, and carbon emission mitigation. And it actually is also hardly certain that ODOT's Portland Region Value Pricing Advisory Committee will ultimately adopt a stance in support of congestion pricing that would adequately address the concerns expressed here for equity, sustainability, and public health, or that the committee will recommend congestion pricing on I-5 or at any freeway in Portland. Portland has an opportunity to be a regional leader in climate-smart, cost-effective, and healthy transportation policy, and set the standard that freeway expansion should only be considered after congestion pricing has been implemented. So asking ODOT to ensure that this congestion pricing is implemented before entering discussions about a freeway expansion is an appropriate move for the city to make. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Josh Hetrick. I endorse congestion pricing over freeway expansion. The time it took me to say that represents the cost to implement congestion pricing. My full 3-minute time slot represents the cost to expand a freeway. There's no point in using all the time when only a little will suffice. I could sit here and continue to talk for 3 minutes to make my point less efficiently. Or, rather, I should continue talking well beyond my 3-minute budget, as would often be the case with freeway expansions. But I would like to be a good steward of the public's time, just as I implore you to be with the public's money. Don't move forward with planning, design, or construction of any freeway expansion until after congestion pricing has been implemented and its effects evaluated. And I would like to note that I've observed a successful congestion strategy in this very room. The last time I was here, there was a much fuller list of people providing testimony, and we were only given 2 minutes apiece. We managed that just fine without building a second council. I think we can do this.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Wheeler, Council, my name is Jim Howell. I here represent AORTA, Association of Oregon Rail and Transit Advocates, and we support this resolution.
Could I get you to stop for a moment? Are we good up there? It's good. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
We also support the amendment proposed by No More Freeway Expansion that they sent to you in a letter, I think, yesterday. I won't read it, but we support that. I've been opposed to this Rose Quarter project for over 5 years. I gave testimony over 5 years ago against it, and basically asked them to seriously look at public transit as an alternative. It's been over 5 years, and no one has looked at that as an alternative. But I want to spend the rest of my time talking about the surface improvements that have been I've heard several of you say that these are important, and I want to point out that they are a mistake. They are causing more problems. They will cause more problems. And I have some slides here for you. Let's see. You see that one? Okay. Basically, it puts a question mark behind surface improvements. We think they're the surface. This is the plan that ODOT has come up. It has two covers, two lids that has been expressed as being an advantage. We don't think they are. This is my neighborhood, and this is would create a lot of useless space that cannot be built on and probably would not be maintained as currently the case with ODOT's property right now. This intersection at Vancouver and Broadway is an example of the way it's maintained. So it's not going to improve the neighborhood by having these little pieces of land. Here is a shot of the area, and what is being proposed is to demolish 5 existing structures that were built in the 60s when the freeway was put through and replace them with lids. Here's one lid that will replace 3 of those structures. It's not to benefit to have more land for development. It's just a cheaper way to cover them when you're rebuilding the freeway. It's an engineering, but it's been kind of sold as a benefit. Here's the other lid, and as you can see, it replaces one of the overpasses, which is Vancouver Avenue, but the fifth overpass, which is Flint, is not going to be replaced. It will be lost to the neighborhood. And this has been one of the... Oh, am I out of time? This is the major... one of the major north-south routes through the neighborhood. It's been there since it was platted back when it was the city of Albina, and that won't be replaced. So, and this is going to be replaced with something that probably is going to cause more problems and not be, and it, this does not solve a lot of the bicycle thing. In other words, the project is bad, and any of you think that it's a benefit have been conned.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, I'm sorry. Yeah, next three, please.
Are J. Veronica Bernier, Matt Ferris Smith, and Joe Courtright.
Come on up.
I think Veronica may have left. We'll go with Brad Baker.
Mr. Courtright, would you like to go ahead and start us off, please?
Sure,
thank you.
Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Joe Courtright, and I'm with No More Freeway Expansions. I also run City Observatory, a think tank on urban policy issues. As an economist, this is such an exciting time to be here. You've heard the sermon. It's usually been economists who've only been talking about congestion pricing. In short, congestion pricing is not only a way to deal with congestion, it is effectively the only way that you will reduce congestion in an urban setting. And so I strongly urge you to move forward with this. But as with the amendment that was submitted by No More Freeway Expansions, we want to strongly encourage you to maximize your value here by not spending any money on the Rose Quarter project until after you have implemented congestion pricing and see what effect that it has on demand. You should follow the medical prescript of first do no harm. There's no reason to spend that money if in a world where we have congestion pricing, we'll have eliminated or at least greatly changed the traffic situation that we face. The entire project is predicated on a world where we don't have congestion pricing. So it makes no sense to spend $500 million on a project that is designed for a world that we know by virtue of this resolution and the legislature's action we're not going to live in. What this project amounts to really effectively then is essentially the ritual sacrifice of $500 million to the freeway gods, or sort of the world's most expensive piece of performance art, because we know it won't have a measurable effect on traffic congestion. And we've seen this because in other cities around the United States where they've expanded capacity and then afterwards implemented tolls, they found out that they'd wasted their money on the capacity expansion. The city of Louisville, Kentucky, widened Interstate 65, a road very similar to I-5 in a lot of respects. They spent $1 billion widening the bridge, and then after they built the bridge, they imposed a toll of between $1 and $2 to use the bridge and found that it dropped the traffic on that bridge by 40% from its pre-construction levels. So if you do tolling, there's no reason to waste money on construction. Now, I want to touch briefly on the issue of equity, because I know people have appropriately said we ought to be thinking about the equity implications of what we do with road pricing. I want to submit to you that our current system of transportation finance is profoundly inequitable, and doing anything in the way of congestion pricing is likely to almost automatically produce big gains in equity. And I'll point out two key inequities in the current system. We talk a lot about the gas tax, but most road users pay more in car registration fees than they do in gas taxes. The typical owner of a Subaru, a used Subaru in Portland, pays 20 times as much as a percentage of the value of her vehicle as somebody who owns a new SUV. So we have a highly inequitable system now. This puts the cost much more on higher income people. The people who travel at the peak hour on freeways earn incomes that are on the average double of what the rest of the population who is walking, cycling, and traveling off peak. Finally, I would just say, I have a sense of deja vu about this because the legislature in 2009 directed the Oregon Department of Transportation to implement congestion pricing in Portland. They drug their bureaucratic feet for quite some time, and as a result, nothing ever happened. And we shouldn't be in that situation again. We should move forward with this. We should take advantage of it by not wasting money on freeway expansion and reap the economic benefits of congestion pricing.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Council. My name is Matt Ferris Smith, and I'm very humbled by all the wonderful testimony I've heard today, and I really appreciate City Council's very thoughtful debate on this issue. Nevertheless, I am taking some time off work today to encourage you to amend Agenda Item 1276 to demand that ODOT implement and evaluate congestion pricing before any further planning, design, or construction of the I-5 Rose Quarter project or any freeway expansion in Portland. Congestion pricing works. Freeway expansions do not. I think we all agree on these fundamental facts about what actually can reduce congestion. Therefore, we should make it very clear that congestion pricing should be implemented prior to any freeway expansion. I realize that the Rose Quarter project promises to do more than widen the highway, but the fact remains that this project is fundamentally a highway widening project. implementing congestion pricing prior to any work on I-5 and evaluating the impact will assure that any subsequent work in the Rose Quarter is well spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Brad Baker. I'd like to basically say I agree with most of the testimony that has been put forth today. I think we should strengthen up this resolution and say that we would like to have congestion pricing implemented and evaluated before we expand the freeway. I live in the Elliott neighborhood, the neighborhood that the freeway currently cuts the neighborhood in half right now. We have some of the worst air quality in the city in that neighborhood because of the freeway. And if we add a lane to this freeway in hopes of reducing congestion, we're going to have more cars. We all know induced demand is going to will happen. We'll have more cars driving through our neighborhood, and we'll have worse air quality there. The neighborhood has already been beat up through, you know, it's a long history of being taken advantage of by the city. And then if we add more lanes to the freeway, it just continues that legacy. Also, I went on the neighborhood walkthrough with PBOT to see the local street improvements. And I'd 100% like to agree with Jim from Aorta. If we think these local improvements are anything of an improvement to the city, we're deceiving ourselves. The lids don't improve the livability of the neighborhood. The streets are already fine. You know, they're not great, but they're fine for walking, for biking. The changes won't make them any better for walking or biking. There's so many other places we could spend this money to improve our infrastructure than putting these lids on the freeway. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor,
appreciate it.
All three.
Commissioner Fish, you bet.
Joe, can I ask you a question? You in your testimony, gave us an analogy, gave us an example about a Subaru and an SUV and the cost. I live in the Goose Hollow neighborhood, and so you have some streets there that are a little narrower than some of the other residential streets in the city. My impression, it's purely anecdotal, is that with greater congestion and safety concerns, people are buying bigger vehicles, compounding the problem. And literally, the problem now is just actually two cars navigating the same roadway, parking, and then if I look at where people park in my building, it seems like bigger cars. Do we have data to support that? Is one of the byproducts of more congestion and safety issues people buying bigger cars and therefore exacerbating the problem?
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fish, I haven't seen data on that that tie it specifically to congestion. The big factor that we've seen is the decline in gasoline prices. That when gasoline prices started declining in about the third quarter of 2014, vehicle miles traveled and miles per gallon of new vehicles, which had been getting better, that is, we were traveling fewer miles and buying smaller, more efficient vehicles, both of those trends reversed. And so with cheap gasoline, there are a lot more fuel-hungry vehicles on the road. And that's one of the really unfortunate and perverse effects of the House Bill 2017 changes. They essentially raised a flat vehicle registration fee. You pay the same fee for a very heavily energy-using, heavily polluting vehicle as for a less polluting one. In fact, they raised the registration fees for electric vehicles, which pollute less. And then the final point is vehicle weight is the biggest factor in wear and tear on the road system. And it's not linear. It's actually to the third power. So a vehicle that weighs twice as much as another vehicle causes eight times as much damage to the roadway. So the SUVs pay the same dollar figure, but cause much, much greater damage to the roadway.
Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it. And you have, there are three more, Carla, is that correct?
We have two who did sign up, and we had a request from one person who didn't get to sign
up. Yeah, that's fine. Bring
okay.
up the last
So time, it's
please.
Aaron Brown, Chris Smith, and the gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Chris, we should have called on you earlier as a commissioner, shouldn't we?
I wanted to back clean up.
A good place to be. Why don't you go ahead and start for us, please, sir?
Mayor Wheeler, Portland City Council. Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Brown, and I'm officially with the No More Freeway Expansion Coalition, a big almighty organization. We've already talked a lot about how great congestion pricing is today, but I just want to make sure it's heard one more time. Our coalition is thoroughly in support of congestion pricing. I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Portland City Council, and for the folks in this room, we've got bureaucrats, we've got folks in the Oregon State Legislature, and folks that have brought this to the table and made it happen. It's undeniably awesome, effective, urgent, important public policy. I just want to add, too, I encourage the City of Portland to listen closely and center the voices from Verde, Opal, Community Alliance of Tenants, and other folks who are sitting in on that ODOT committee to particularly make sure that the congestion pricing policies we design are centering the vulnerable communities and that we are achieving the best possible outcomes from it. I am here to once again reiterate that we are disappointed that the language in this resolution does not have specific wording saying that we should try pricing before freeway expansion. The elephant in the room, if congestion pricing is all about the notion that we're managing supply and demand better, this is a $450 million increase in the supply that totally throws off this entire notion of getting all of the benefits that congestion pricing bring. If you had a leaky sink in your house, to use more dopey analogies because people seem to like that last time I was here, if you had a leaky sink in your house and it could cost $10 million to call the plumber or $450 million to buy a new sink, why on earth wouldn't you call the plumber first? That is what's at hand with this congestion pricing versus freeway expansion. That's why we've had 350 people contact you and sign our letter and to bring this issue today to rain on the parade of what otherwise is a really awesome initiative moving forward with congestion pricing. Lord knows we have other infrastructural needs like affordable housing that we should be thinking about how we allocate money towards. Being here and patting ourselves on the back that we're supporting congestion pricing but still allowing this freeway expansion to happen is like patting ourselves on the back that we passed an energy consumption initiative while also voting for a $450 million coal plant. It's like changing that we are supporting a new recidivism or second chance policies while also moving forward with a $450 million prison. At our fundamental core, the point is to restructure our collective social behavior to retire these 20th century infrastructure projects that are counter to every single one of our public health, economic, equity, and other goals at great taxpayer expense. Maybe we need a redesigned freeway. It's fiscally irresponsible to not demand the congestion pricing happen first, so we have a fundamental understanding of how we can design that freeway to best meet the needs of the changing traffic. We know that if we put a price on that road, it will fundamentally change how many cars are going through it. What we are suggesting is, especially considering, I sat in on the committee that met last week, there's all sorts of different technologies about what lanes are reusing or how it is implemented. It will have significant impact on what the traffic would look like. It does not make sense to move forward with freeway expansion, allowing ODOT to move forward without explicitly previously finding out how that traffic patterns have changed. Thank you very much for your time, and I encourage you to learn more about our coalition.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Ron Buell, and congratulations to the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman and the council for this excellent effort to push forward congestion pricing on I-5 and I hope I-205. Also, congratulations to the council for having excellent, open-minded, bright, and responsive staff members in each of your offices. I gave my little pitch about the costs and benefits of the $450 million Rose Quarter project. And the amendment to this congestion pricing resolution we seek in order to do what Aaron just said, to get that evaluation and outcome. And I spoke to Brennan Finn and to Michael Cox and Marshall Runkle and Chris Dunphy and a new person in Amanda's office named Janine Gates. And your staff members were great, and they said they agreed with my cost-benefit analysis. To summarize that, the costs are substantial. $450 million is a lot of money. This project will worsen air pollution in neighborhoods that are already hit hard by air pollution and air toxics, and induce demand for freeway driving, and it's totally antithetical to the climate action plan of the City of Portland. The benefits of this project are illusory. ODOT and PBOT say the project will not reduce congestion on I-5. And vehicle-caused fatalities are going up dramatically across the city. But your Vision Zero goals will not be advanced in this section of new freeway. It's not where fatalities occur. The bicycle and pedestrian use of the Broadway-Weidler couplet will not be improved by speeding up autos and trucks coming off I-5. Taking out Flint altogether does not restore the street grid, does not serve Emmanuel Hospital, does not restore, and does not, it takes out a very heavily used bicycle street, Flint. I went to the Vision Zero meeting at the Billy Webb's Elks Temple, and Zeri Sontner and Rukaya Adams and Ronnie Herndon said in front of God and everyone that this project was not essential to their idealistic and naive vision. While they want to build on the lids, they won't be able to do so. You have no neighborhood support for this project either. Elliott and Irvington neighborhoods did not approve it. They opposed it. Finally, I want to warn the mayor and the city council that this project will not finally be built. There's no money for it until 2022, and then ODOT has to borrow to fund it. And 30% of that agency's budget goes to pay debt already. No More Freeway Expansion is confident this project won't go forward. So you're about to fall into the Columbia River crossing trap, which is what I call it. The budget for this project includes more than $100 million for design, planning, and engineering. If you make the mistake of kicking this planning can down the road, I joyfully predict that there will be political consequences that the council won't like for spending all that money and wasting it on a project that's never built, which is what happened with $200 million on the CRC.
Very good, and I'd ask you to please wrap it up.
Okie doke. The answer for you is simple. Stop the planning using federal flexible funds and hold the $450 million allocation until after you get the results from congestion pricing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Last but not least.
Mayor, members of council, I'm Chris Smith. I'm vice chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but I am not speaking for the commission today. I'm also an authorized representative of the No More Freeway Expansion Coalition. This is a smart resolution, and that shouldn't surprise me since two of my favorite bureau directors are bringing it forward. There's some good stuff in here. I particularly want to call out the desire to balance what ODOT is looking at on the freeways with what we need to do for the rest of the transportation system to make it work together as an integrated whole. I think absent that, we would be in big trouble. And with it, we have the opportunity to achieve a lot of our comp plan goals. There's also an important clause about seeking the responsible use of the revenue. And I think that's something that ODOT will probably not do on their own. They'd simply plow it back into the freeway system, and that's not the highest and best use of those dollars. So I encourage the city to be vigilant about making sure that money is spent well. I want to echo some of the equity concerns and opportunities that have been addressed. As other people have said, the current transportation funding system is not particularly equitable. We have the opportunity to improve the equity of the system here, but only if we are very focused on how to make sure that the outcomes do indeed improve equity. So I ask all of you to watch that carefully. And of course, I want to address what's not in the resolution. Commissioner Saltzman, you said in your opening remarks that we should be open to looking at things like our zoning, like our transportation project list. But the resolution doesn't say that. The resolution doesn't say we should reevaluate our transportation project list. I think it should. And like my friends, you know, I believe that part of that reevaluation should be to rethink the I-5 Rose Quarter project. A few reflections on that. I share the feeling of Jim Howell that the surface improvements don't add up to much. I'm a cyclist who rides through the so-called box on Broadway-Weidler a couple times a week. I don't see that the freeway project is going to make a significant difference to the quality of bike-ped travel through that area. Very skeptical about what it's going to do for land use. And since I have a minute left, I want to address a point that I heard a number of times in response to Central City Plan testimony about the freeway project, which is, it's not Portland's money to reprogram. Well, of course, it's true that the dollars are programmed by the legislature and the Oregon Transportation Commission, but they are raised from people in Portland who pay gas taxes and vehicle registration fees. So they are, in that sense, very much Portland's money, and they should be spent to our benefit. You know, the I-5 project has been in the city's legislative agenda. I would urge you to change that. You have power over what the legislature and the OTC do, and I think it's incumbent on you to reevaluate this project. You know, at a time when the city is going to have its highest traffic fatalities in a decade, and every segment of Powell and 82nd have higher crash rates than this freeway interchange does, I think it's a massive misallocation of resources to put $500 million into this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you, Portland City Council.
Very good. Do we want to bring Director Treat up for any further questions?
I just have one.
Come on up. I don't know, Susan, if you want to join her, you're certainly welcome to.
And I don't know whether you have the answer to this or not, but I was wondering about the taking out of Flint. What's the rationale behind that?
I can't.
Hang on a second, the captions aren't again. Sorry.
That's okay. So I can't answer that. I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Commissioner.
It's not on yet. They are probably switching out captioners.
Okay.
So I'll ask the question again.
Are you there? Okay. Looks like they're ready.
So I guess just want to reflect that this is an example of how difficult it is for people who have hearing difficulties when they're completely cut off from being able to follow a conversation. So thank you, Philip, for bringing this to our attention. My question, Director Treat, was whether or not you know what's the rationale for taking out Flint.
Right, and I don't. And I will get back to you and follow up with. I'll follow up on that question.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Please call the roll.
Thank you.
You Daly.
Thank you for the presentation and for everyone that came to testify today.
Fritz.
When I was discussing this with some of my staff today, I mentioned that when I first got involved with city discussions back in the early 1990s, we were talking about congestion pricing, and I was listening to it at the Metro Policy Advisory Committee, and one of my staff said, well, then why didn't you do it? And so I would urge the advocates, don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. We are actually going to do this now, and I think there's a lot more to be discussed than whether or not it will relieve congestion. There is the discussion of will it repair a neighborhood that was blasted apart by I-5 and Memorial Coliseum, and how do we include more people who were affected by that in these discussions so that we all understand that it's not just about a freeway here. Aye.
Fish.
My only disappointment is John Topagna assured us we were going to get a Joe Cartwright PowerPoint. I feel like perhaps we can prevail upon you to email it to us so we can review it. Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing this matter forward. This, I thought, was an unusually thoughtful discussion. I appreciate the time people took to inform us and make a record. And I have a lot of questions and concerns coming out of this, and that's the purpose of holding a hearing. So I'm going to support this this particular resolution. And, in fact, I've lived in cities across the country that have successfully implemented congestion pricing. And with some of the new technology, it's actually not very burdensome. It's just having a sticker or a little box on your windshield, and you can adjust, do some variable pricing off of that. I think it's long overdue. So thank you both for bringing this forward. Thank you to the public for participating. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, as the resolution states, this begins the process of the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Bureau of Transportation of closely examining how to implement congestion pricing in the city of Portland. It is all about pricing our transportation system, but doing it in a way that's going to be equitable to all Portlanders. and I believe that we are up for that challenge. I wanted to thank, in particular, Matt Grum in my office for helping to put together this resolution and the hearing we've just completed today. Aye.
Wheeler.
This is a good and necessary first step for the city to take, and therefore I support the resolution. Aye. The resolution is adopted. Thanks, everybody. We're adjourned.